Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing four weekly podcasts, Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, as well as four event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals, Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers have escaped the Met and evaded the police by breaking into the sewers. Adrian is rapidly losing faith in Red's leadership. Richter stole a statue that looked at him, and Red will have to come up with a way to explain to their employer why they won't be coming back with any whiskey. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
The Mystery Punchers find themselves exiting a sewer. Nothing of import happened in the sewers. After an incredibly strange night at the museum, you made your way through a New York sewer, which was not full of slime that could be enchanted by good feelings and a walking Statue of Liberty dance, unfortunately. Just regular, horrible New York sewage from the 1930s. So, like, presumably extra terrible.
That's because we didn't steal the painting of Vigo. We just took that statue.
Yeah, I know, honestly. Just next time. Next time you end up teleported to New York fighting monsters in a museum. So you are admittedly all kind of holding your breath throughout most of it, slash trying to hold your insides in. But you make your way through the sewer with no major difficulty. You crawl out of a sewer grate, Ninja Turtle style, in a side street of New York. There are a bunch of revelers out and about, but admittedly, no one much cares. It's sort of early evening now. People are you know, well into their night of revels if they can afford it. The bedraggled crew makes their way back to two times Marvin Gatsby's. He is shocked to see you. Immediately calls for the doctor who had treated you previously. And the three of you are given some legitimate medical care. Go ahead and add 6 points of HP as you're treated.
Is that technically four for me, considering I had that plus two that was going to go away?
Yes, Claire, that is correct. Thank you. Okay. As the whiskey wears off. Gatsby isn't thrilled at how things went down, but also based on the police presence and the presence of other criminals, he's just impressed you all didn't die. Also that you didn't signal his crew when things went completely pear-shaped, which would have gotten them killed. So there's some frustration that he's not getting his shipment, but there's also a little bit of, game recognized game, and also some appreciation that you didn't hang his crew out to dry. He points out that lesser gangsters would have done that, that it would have been easier to just let the crew get caught and blame the crew rather than just doing that. So you all have a few minutes to properly heal up. The doctor, she is not pleased to see the conditions she sent Red out in and the condition you've come back in. You do manage to get patched up. I should point out, though, that given the way healing works in this game and given the time frame in which I assume you want to get back to Helmfirth, these are all temporary hit points. This isn't proper medical care. This is binding your wounds, getting you in shape to travel. But to properly recover, you will need to actually spend some time resting. That said, Richter, the King in Yellow, based on your calculations, should be starting very soon. So if you tarry too long in New York, there's a chance you might miss it. Also, Adrian, you are somewhat concerned what Wackadoo Willie might be doing in your absence. And Red, who the fuck knows what Monty Greaves has managed to get up to since you've all been gone. So Marvin Gatsby is, again, a little bit on the fence and says, Red, I'd really hoped that our little arrangement would lead to you actually paying off the debt rather than incurring a second one. But again, I respect that you didn't get my crew killed. So there's that. And besides, it's the 1930s. Booze is flowing freely in establishments such as ours, this will put me out for a bit, but it's prohibition and everyone kind of gets it. That said, there will come a time when I will need to call on you for something rather significant now. This isn't just a do a job for me because I need someone I can trust. This is a proper debt. You willing to take that?
Always. When you call me, I'll be there and I promise I'll be in better shape. You know me. This would have gotten done if it was possible to get it done.
He looks to Adrian to confirm this.
What?
Adrian, you've just heard Red say that if it was up to Red, this job would have gone flawlessly. Based on the way Addy started to react to Red's plans, do you think he would not respond to that, or would he point out that a lot of it was kind of Red's doing?
We will come back and help, but you're going to need to have your own plan that makes sure that Red doesn't get hurt, because she does silly things that aren't very safe for all of us sometimes.
Adrian,
what?
The world isn't safe. I did what I thought was right, and I did what I had to do.
Yeah, well, you were wrong. That's why he should make the plan.
Listen, as adorable as this little domestic is, I'll come up with the plan next time. I'm going to hook you guys up with a vehicle before your weird old uncle guy teaches my band more songs I don't want them to play. But whatever you're up to, whatever you're in, I hope it works out for you. And don't worry, big guy. I'll come up with a plan next time.
Much obliged.
Okay.
And Red, as you kind of go to collect Richter and make your way to the car, Gatsby just stops you, Adrian, and says, you know, Mr. Diesel, the Diesel family is not unknown to me. You make a hell of a pair of pants. Are you the secret brains of this operation?
Maybe. He seems like wowed by this idea himself, but he can't really work it out.
Gatsby just nods at you with like a knowing look that to you just looks like a look. And he's like, excellent. It is good to know who to be in touch with. We'll be in touch soon, Mr. Diesel. I look forward to it.
Thank you, Mr. Friend.
With that, you make your way outside to the car he has prepared. And holy shit, gang, you're back on the road. And unless there's anything else you want to do in New York, which I assume Richter will just yell at you about, it's time to go home. It's a king in yellow is just what I still remember Tyler yelling at the end of an episode. It haunts me, and I hope it haunts you.
Yeah, is there a point where we stop at a light and Richter just gets out to look at something? Feels like it's possible.
Yeah, no, we're going to spend 3 episodes of Red and Adrian driving before we even meet Richter. It's going to be dope. Car Twitter and I are going to get along so well. But you do have some time as you travel back to Helmfirth to chat. We're going to say this is for narrative purposes with all of you kind of swapping. I actually don't know how long this drive is, so I'm going to quickly Google it. But you have a chance to finally actually catch up and to discuss some of the things that have been kind of lingering. Boston to New York. Driving. Go, Web, go. It's only a 4-hour drive. So that's pretty nice. Given that it is olden times, we're going to bump that up.
Highways that's factoring in that I don't think existed.
I think we're going to say you'll have to stop for the night at some point. Also, it's the same day that all of this happened, so you're all in rough shape, but you can at least make it midway. So you'll have one stopover at a motel en route. What do you want to discuss on the way?
Richter would probably want to discuss his dream.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be keen to know what Adrian thinks of this, since he and Adrian sort of shared a dream state not too long before being whisked away to New York City.
Mm.
This was the whole dream in the museum, like seeing
possession, spooky friend.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone, I went on some sort of journey, some sort of odyssey in my mind when I was given that strange medicine by the man in the museum. It knocked me out, and I dreamt of Sally. Sally was there, but she was changed somehow. She turned into a creature. And there were hands grasping at me. And when I spoke with this Sally creature, it told me its name. That it was... Sorry, everyone.
Tyler, I just Googled how long it takes to drive from New York to Boston live on air. You can take a second to look up weird Cthulhu names.
The name Croatoan. Came forth, which Red, I believe we saw scrawled on the wall of a restroom in one of the schools in Helmfurt. Probably Helmfurt's only school, actually.
Red, can you roll me an education check or a no check? Because I don't know if you would remember that detail of that case.
I sure would by 1 point.
Oh, damn. So yes, despite realizing the crying ghost was in fact Sally dealing with biological necessities she'd never been taught, you did clock your little Tracy's keen investigator mind clocked the term Croatoan.
So did you get away by putting hearts in a briefcase?
No, it was an entirely different experience, Addy. I wish to speak with Sally. I do believe that is, it was Sally in my mind, but she had been changed somehow by whatever this other Croatoan force was. It seems to have commingled with Sally.
Is that like how both Benny there. Is a hand now?
Oh, yeah. Hey, look at this. And I just throw Benny's hand like into the front seat. Like, look who's back.
The hand hits the seat, bounces on its back, and you actually see the fingers move like a spider on its back and kind of like wedge back and forth and then flip over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you all see that as well, right?
Oh, hey, Benny.
If a hand could sigh, you see the hand like kind of like arc up and arc down in disappointment and then roll back over onto the back of the hand and then kind of wedge halfway up and kind of half wave at you.
Red, oh, hey, Benny.
Yeah, Red does not wave back.
Understood. Claire, based on the look on your human face on this video, I need you to roll me a sanity check.
Yeah.
I feel like Adrian doesn't care, but I think Red really does.
This is so weird. Like,
Adrian's just excited to see Benny.
Hey, I had to get under, yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. I got well under.
Fantastic. You will lose only 2 sanity for the waving hand, but you can add 2 to your mythos.
I think Adrian legitimately believes Benny has become a hand. Like, I don't even think he sees it as a severed hand of Benny. He thinks that's all of Benny now.
Which,
not close necessarily enough. Wrong.
Benny was in the dream with me. He saved me from Sally.
Okay, can we ask Benny some questions? Like, Benny, could you tap the dash 1 for yes and 2 for no?
The hand flips back over and kind of like crawls up and starts to tap the dash, but you notice it's getting slower. It seems like it can have bursts of connection, but to be clear, you don't have an exposition hand just hanging out
to explain everything forever. Yeah,
tap things out. But also realistically, based on the way we've seen it act, unlike Billy Fingers in our Dungeons & Dragons show, that's just a ball of fingers that is good at all this stuff. The best way to think of this is as a limited charge item, essentially. So Benny's hand can convey Benny's intent very briefly and fairly explosively, but it's a labor and it's not something that will always be accessible to you. So it taps like yes, and then just falls like limply under the like into the wheel well of the passenger seat, and just kind of bounces around awkwardly on the ground.
Oh, Jesus.
Uh-oh, he needs a rest. He always was clumsy.
I'll reach forward and just grab, like, reach into the front seat and reach down and grab the hand and put it back in my coat.
There is something weirdly comforting about the hand also not moving. That's kind of what you're used to. So it's like, oh, it's nice that it does now, but like,
it's nice that I can have both.
It was also nice when it didn't.
Yeah. Should we get a glove for that hand so Benny's not naked?
I think that's the least of our problems right now, Adrian. It's a nice thought, though.
I feel like if you were naked, you would put that problem very high up on the list.
That is very thoughtful.
This is just a clip show episode. We cut back to the 2 times you've completely stopped the quest to go find Red new clothes. Yeah, I didn't want to plan a session today, so it's just a clip show of previous episodes.
That's fair.
Opens a glove compartment. That's why those things are named that, and it's 1930, so I think that's there will be exclusively gloves in there.
Tyler, roll me a luck check, please.
No. The result is no.
No gloves, no loves. You open it and there's, I don't know, like a moth. I don't feel like they had registration papers back then. Just a bunch of cigarettes and cocaine, but in like vials.
I was going to say, just a cloud of cocaine puffs out and we're like, oh,
no, it was all like classy.
I got a really good idea about a business we could start. Everybody shut up.
And that's how the Mystery Punchers became screenwriters.
Richter.
There's a full martini. Just moving around inside their Gatsby style.
Richter. I have also seen Sally in her other form, or when I was in the car going to the jazz bar.
When you were unconscious, when
you
were nearly dead.
On the brink of it, yes. For a second, Adrian became Sally. I don't remember what she says. It was hazy, but it definitely was not a force for good. I am beginning to have theories connected to what happened in the church a long, long time ago. I think something entered Sally and never left.
Do we all remember what happens in the church? For myself, I have found that those memories are fleeting at times.
I remember what happened with Sally, yes.
Did you say that I became Sally?
Well, just, it was like her face was on your face. You didn't become Sally, Adrian. You are always you.
Do you think I could become Benny so we could get our questions answered?
No.
Nuts.
She's correct.
I think that when that ritual happened in the church and Sally fell into that black pit, that something entered her mind, and perhaps that's what's communicating with us now.
So,
as insane as that sounds.
Just to kind of further bump what you're already doing naturally, which is great. This car ride is a damn good time to hash out some theories you've got. Because once you return to Helmforth, things will heat back up again. So this is your chance to kind of try and come up with a working theory as to what's going on. Adrian / Ryan, you'll be at a disadvantage with this, of course, because Addy, but, given that you've, kind of reconnected, with child Addy, what I'll say, Ryan, is, you can risk sanity to try and tap into that side of Adrian for kind of those moments of clarity you've had, just so that you're not entirely out of the theory building. You'll just have to determine how much and how hard you want to push.
Yeah, if we need to make a leap for that, that's cool. Otherwise, I'll play him in kind of his bumbling, occasionally idiot savant way.
I would also say that, like, again, as we've established, like, this is a unity of character. This isn't like, it's not a, like, a demon in your head situation. Like,
yeah,
every other show we have. So it's also up to you whether or not you would try and tap that, because it is also, it's a little bit like being like, what would little Tommy McGee, age 8, think about this? It's not like, I'll just tap into the genius in my brain.
yes, agreed.
Yeah, great. Okay, fantastic. So the question posed to the party then, this is a weird non-rulesy question. What the fuck do you think is going on with, and you're already working towards this, but with Sally, with the ritual, with the monster you've seen, with the Croatoan, what is the working theory?
Sally mentioned in my mind a betrayal, how her friends left her behind. Now, I do not know if that is Sally referring to you.
Us.
Or if it is the creature, Croatoan, referring to something that happened. Do you understand?
All I remember from the church is a bad thing was going to happen to Red, and then I stopped the bad thing. But I don't know anything else other than Sally and blood headbags, and that was bad.
The one thing I'll add to that, Ryan, is you think Red, but Adrian says Tracy.
Yeah, it and that happened, yeah.
Claire, you haven't actually told either of these characters what happened in the church, as you recall. You've seen it, but you haven't conveyed it to them. How much would Red tell them?
At this point, everything. And it's been so long that I... Oh, boy.
All good. It's all right. I can help you on this. Claire, the important details, I think, and again, I'm kind of going for like a hearing the actual characters tell their versions of this. What you remember is in the last moment after Adrian stepped in front of you to like take the pillar as I don't think you knew what Richter was doing. You saw that there was chaos, that there was violence happening.
I thought I saw him with a gun, like coming down the...
Yes. You saw him storm in, holding something and holding a gun. But for Sally, you saw a void open. And you were like reaching out to Sally and you missed her hand by inches. And she tripped and fell backward, and suddenly a number of arms grabbed her, and her last words to you were, "Tracy?" And she was pulled into the nothingness, which was a memory you had suppressed that came back to you during the investigation of the burnt-out church. So we can save some time here, but I would be curious, largely because it seems like a pretty big Red moment, to hear you how you would convey that information to them, particularly because... even though you didn't recognize it at the time, when you relived the memory, you realized that was the last time you went by Tracy. Mm-hmm. So.
We were in the church. Richter, I don't know why you had a gun. I don't know why you were there. All I remember is Sally. I couldn't save her. I couldn't save anyone. I realized I was a child and children shouldn't have to worry about that, but her fingertips were so close to mine that if I had just reached out even an inch further, I could have... It doesn't matter. All I know is that she fell into the void and arms reached out to her, and that was the last time I had heard her voice until... that car the other day.
Red, you were a child. You were all children. So there was nothing you could do.
But you didn't save her, right?
I didn't save her. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I could have. Age or not, I could have saved her if I was a bit quicker, if I was a bit stronger, if I had looked around me more.
Claire, can you roll an education check, please?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's a fail.
Okay.
Big old fail.
The guilt is still getting to you. Mm-hmm. Their argument, Richter is telling you things that are theoretically true. But there's a difference between being a kid and being a mystery puncher. Mm-hmm. And you were the leader of the mystery punchers, and there wasn't a mystery you couldn't punch until there was.
Yeah. I was the leader of a gang, and inconsequential as it might be, I wasn't able to protect a single member of it. Now, one of them is dead, one of them is in some kind of psychotic void, and one of them is... well, Addy, you're all I have left.
Oh, that's good. I was worried I was in a psychotic void.
No, you have to stay with me. Do you understand?
Yeah, that's what I've been saying to you while you run around corners and get things put in your tummy or whatever.
Well, it's better me than you.
I don't agree with that at all.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Mm. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumdumdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else. So do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
That's crazy talk. Do you know what kind of plants I would come up with?
Adrian, can you also roll me an education check?
I left my donkeys with a hobo.
Ryan, let's make this a con check, because, again, we haven't quite figured out how to navigate the realm of the dual people.
I'm writing that down.
It's con?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a hard success on con. A fail on edu.
I get that. Adrian, for the first time, you realize that Red feels responsible for taking care of you the way that you've unquestioningly always assumed you have to take care of Red. And it's actually kind of astounding. It's a little bit like the first time... kind of horrible, but also true. The first time you realized your parents can be scared, we're just like, oh shit. No. When I'm scared, they tell me everything's fine. And then you see them scared for the first time. And it, I don't know, for me, that was like a drastic, like,
shakes.
Oh shit. And I think it is such a non-starter for you that, like, you take care of Red. That's obviously. But suddenly something clicks into place that doesn't entirely make sense because you're lacking the context of what happened at the church. But yeah, she is more worried about taking care of you than you are of taking care of her, which is wild.
Wait, if you're trying to take care of me, why did we start the shoelaces? We could have just gone to my house. It's very nice. And I have a bunch of money.
Well, because I can't just sit on my laurels, Addie. I needed to do something. And, well, that presented itself as an opportunity to be independent.
Can you roll... there's got to be deception here, right? Somewhere? No, it's just persuade. Can you roll me a persuade check? Not a fast talk, just a persuade.
Okay. That is, I'm spending 2 luck to make that a hard success.
Okay, you buy her reason for it, despite it being clear bullshit.
Oh, so you're saying you do whatever you want to do, and I'm going to be there, but you're doing it all to protect me. This makes perfect sense, because your priority is to do whatever you want, and I get protected. You don't even need to worry about it.
Richter, you hear all of this. Would you intercede? I know that isn't a question I would normally ask, but you've been with them long enough, and I think enough has happened that it's a question worth asking.
I think Richter would just offer his own theory there. Is like, yeah, that could be it. Or I would hazard a guess that the trauma you both experienced in the church that day meant that Helmforth was no longer a home for you. It was no longer a safe place. I sympathize entirely. I myself completely blocked that day out of my mind and ran from it when the faintest inklings came back to me. I only now, with you two, have I been actively trying to remember and trying to seek those memories out. I wouldn't blame anyone for wanting to run away.
Oh, so the bad time at the church is why we had to start a gang. So where's your gang, Richter?
My gang is very small, Andy. I was a one-man gang for quite some time. And,
oh, wow.
Benny would join me from time to time.
A faint tap on your thigh, and then you hear that, and it pats your thigh and then goes back to sleep.
Oh, so you're looking after Benny, and Benny's looking after you, but Benny got turned into a hand, so he had bad magic stuff. Benny and I are the same.
Because
I'm different and maybe a little bit worse now, but I still look after Red, just like the hand looks after you.
I am a little embarrassed to say that Benny took care of me much more than I should have taken care of him.
Well, regardless, as much as I can truthfully say that I wish we had never come back to Helmforth, I really do. If I could have taken it back, I would. But here we are, and we have to see this thing through.
If you're going back again.
Or I feel like it's going to follow us until the end of the rest of our days, and frankly, I don't know how many days any of us has left, so...
Okay, so how are we going to kidnap the mayor?
Well, I think we're a bit beyond kidnapping at this point. Frankly, I'm willing to just walk in and kill the lot of them, because...
Oh my god! What? I mean,
put them to sleep.
Oh!
In the woods.
Okay, that was... I don't... That would be awful. I'm not a... I've only killed like 3 times, and they were in self-defense. I am not a murderer.
Success would be time to take in a play.
Yes.
What?
There is a production coming to Helmforth that I have become increasingly interested in. This The King in Yellow, you may have heard me.
Richter, can you roll a mythos check?
Oof, nope, no sir. 92.
Right. You cannot explain. Oh, no, buddy. You cannot explain why you love this play so much. You just really want to see it.
Yeah, it's called The King in Yellow. So,
pretty
self-explanatory.
I was hoping it was the Siegfried Follies.
I love you so much, Ren.
There's the one time my theater degree has ever had value.
We did it. I'm calling Queens right now and telling them we did it.
Did you guys hear about that one play happening now where they just, like, took all the people off the street and put them on the stage on a street? It was really meta, an old man said next to me while I was booing.
Addy, you can go ahead and lose. What did I roll? 3 sanity and gain 3 mythos. What you were describing actually happened, but everyone reacts to it so bizarrely, you assume it's just part of whatever the fuck spookiness is happening.
That idea seems so crazy, even to Addy, that he thinks he must be crazy.
Yeah, truly.
That was his version of seeing Evil Sally.
Right. Honestly, getting a theater degree is seeing Evil Sally. So
we'll chase you for the rest of your days.
Red and Addy, the fact that Richter is so excited to see this play is frustrating, but also you've been with him now long enough that I think your first reaction wouldn't be like, oh, the old man has a thing he wants to do. It would be like, okay, but Richter is very good at kind of finding weird things. So I guess what I need from both of you is, how would you interpret this so we can roll for it? Also, I'm sorry, I just kicked out the leg of my table. So if you heard some thunks, it's just the car going over 30s bumps.
Yeah.
Roads were bad.
Went flying out the window again.
Yeah. you're fine this time.
Okay, so Red would definitely be, I mean, she's desperately trying to put pieces together at this point. So like this goes on the list of weird things that Richter has done, such as like needing to take the statue out of the locked vault underneath the museum that he hasn't explained. So like, I don't entirely trust this.
If we're all just saying a thing we want to do, I'd like to go to that town with that fish woman and fucking, I'll kill her. I'll kill her so dead.
One day we'll get to Innsmouth.
I think I remember her walking into the ocean. I don't know if she lives in a town, Eddie.
Oh, no, she does. She does. I figured it out. Because she said, I'm from Innsmouth or something.
I mean, she did, but then she did go back to an underwater city. Claire, as they're debating the fish murder, which I think is just going to be the white whale for Addie.
It is.
I'm going to offer you several different systems, a devil's bargain. Red, you've decided that this is all like, you're so frustrated with all this, but at the same time, you've realized you're in it. You are that character in a supernatural movie who is frustrated to be there, but has finally come to understand.
Sure.
So I would say, in a Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones being like, before he does something he doesn't want to do that's presumably supernatural or involves snakes, you can risk a sanity check to understand what the fuck Richter is talking about.
Okay.
Go ahead. Richter.
Nope. Yeah.
How much do you want to convince people that we have to go see the King in Yellow?
I'm trying to remember now, and the notes on King in Yellow were actually in a separate book before I...
I got them right here, bud. What do you need?
Before I bought separate books for each show. I'm not enthralled by the King in Yellow, at least not yet anyway. I believe all of my desire to see it is rooted in kind of what I've seen of its effect on other people, person in the alleyway.
You did receive a bit of it, though.
Did, okay.
Yes, there is an element of mythos madness to this. Okay. It isn't purely scientific. Most of it was. It was when you were coming back and saw the mural and then, like, the artist's clothes in a pile and, like, yellow footsteps running away. That's, I think, when you failed a sanity check on it.
Okay, thank you.
So there is some actual enthrallment.
Okay. Then I would say I want pretty badly to convince them to at least, it's weird. It's like, they're not my keeper or anything. Like let me see it. Like I could, I'm a fucking 70-year-old man. I can go see a play if I want, but I think it probably seems so special to me that I want them to see it with me.
And I also think it's, to roll right back to our kind of earliest Richter stuff. There was a certain joy for you in, actually seeing the signs. We talked a lot early on about the Men in Black thing where it's like you're reading the tabloids every day and then you find the one that's actually just an alien.
Yeah.
And they, if you'll like cast your mind back to 1,000 years ago when the show started, they're the ones who triggered the first actual leads for you. So I think there's also a sense of like, they're almost your good luck charm. Right. If that makes sense. Like mythos shit has been happening to you constantly since they showed up.
Right. Yes.
If they aren't there.
Right. And the three of us are the best equipped to fight whatever it is that's come to Helmfirth. So I want them there to Yeah, I want them there as like backup, and also because I think it's important.
All right, sir. We'll have a devil's bargain for you as well then.
Sure.
You can give advantage to Claire if you will take a D4 of sanity damage.
Let me just turn the page back to my sanity. Sure. Fuck me up, fam.
I rolled a 1.
Oh, all right.
Nice.
That is a good return on investment. So Claire, go ahead and roll your 10s again, please.
Wait, my like 100 dice? Yeah.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Come on. I rolled the same.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
I mean, we have 10, but
defied shit. Physics.
God damn it.
I want my sanity back. I want a return on my investment.
Okay. If we're going to go to the play, then I need 2 things to make sure we're safe. 1, we got to eat fish and chips, because that's sort of like beating a fish woman. And 2, I get to bring the ray gun.
Well, we've always brought the ray gun. I have it right here, and I pull out the ray gun.
No, man, you gave that to Bobby Walkie to go investigate.
Yeah, I thought he examined it and gave it back.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, yeah. Because I
you
was
had
also
it on you the whole time?
Yeah, I was contemplating using the ray gun on the cultists, and then I decided I opted for mirror samurai.
Okay, cool, man.
I just waved it around in the back. She's like, I have the ray gun.
Okay, then I want the ray gun right now. We could have used that a bunch.
But it is a very, very dangerous weapon, Eddie. The ice cream man himself said it was incredibly dangerous.
Well, Red lost her role, so do you want to go see the King in Yellow?
Well, fuck. All right, here you go, pal. And I just hand him the ray gun.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut off your improv sequence there. Okay, so Red, you unfortunately do not understand why, but you see this weird little ritual happen between Adrian and Richter. And much like Scully circa season 3, enough weird shit has happened that even though you still hate that it does, you've just kind of learned to roll with it occasionally.
Sure.
But still frustrating. Okay, so we've determined we are going to go see the King in Yellow.
Yes.
We have a rough working plan. What is your final conclusion about the Sally situation?
I mean, like, I think the overall conclusion is, like, there's an evil being that possessed Sally, and the Gotham Crown whose leader is our mayor, are trying to bring them back, like bring it back. And so, I mean, Red's solution to this is just, let's go gank
them.
Got them
down. Yep. Adrian Addie's and Richter, does that work for you, or what are your takes?
I mean, I feel like Addie's loose interpretation would be Sally's mad at Red because Sally fell into a spooky place. So we should try to either talk to Sally and see if she'll be friends again, or kill the bad things that grabbed Sally. And that's sort of probably where he's at. Totally. And he would think like the Gotham Crown and all that fall on like team bad team. Like gotcha. He just sees them
yep,
all.
No, that makes sense. And Richter,
all evil is on the same team in his brain. It's just good and bad.
And keep in mind, one caveat to this, and Ryan, I really like the way you approach this. This is like a, for the sake of the audience, where are your characters at? It's not necessarily something you've conveyed to everyone. Mm-hmm. Adrian would never explain that.
No.
So Richter, with that in mind, where do you think you're at with this?
I do think Richter would hash this out though with the group on the car ride. Basically that if Sally is visiting us and she's changed, and it's entirely possible that Sally is alive. And if Sally is alive, Sally can be saved. So I think that's where Richter's at with that. It's more about now figuring out what Croatoa wants, the Croatoan, and what it wants with Sally and how it's using Sally and how to reverse or undo that, which is like inspiration for Richter to hit the books. But in addition to that, yes, this cult has infiltrated Helm for that, like the highest forms of government. But we've seen that the citizens are not so much in on it as they are kind of affected by it in different ways. And so we may still have allies in the town of Helmfirth just not in the highest positions of power.
So we're back to kidnapping the mayor and asking him what the fuck is going on.
Save Sally, sleep the sort of bad guys, kill the really bad guys.
And with that plan in your minds and in your hearts, you continue to floor it as your car sort of drives late into the night. I think we'll say you had your overnight during this whole discussion. It was kind of like a park overnight. You're on your way back into Helmfirth, and two things of note occur. Richter, I need you to roll a mythos check, please. Actually, all of you can, but I feel like it's mostly for him because he's been losing his mind a lot faster than the rest of you.
I will love if I... Yeah, no.
No,
I failed mine.
Okay. You have a feeling of tremendous discomfort for a moment. And the radio, which is currently playing a jaunty tune, crackles. For a moment you almost hear a sharp intake of breath, as though, someone were caught unawares, as you pass just a seemingly random, part of America, you're just driving past somewhere and you feel suddenly a tremendous rush of emotion, but unfortunately with the roll, the second thing that happens, however, is as a heavy rain that happily doesn't stink, like previous rains you've encountered, begins to hit the windshield, you see a car in the ditch, and there is a man kind of like waving desperately at the vehicle. Adrian, you're driving, right?
Yeah.
Almost without thinking, you pull over, because I think... Similar to Wackadoo Willie when you're at the drive-in watching King Kong, you sometimes just get feelings about people and you've learned to just trust that. So you pull over and you see a man with graying hair. Looks a little bit like Colin Firth, but like a waterlogged Colin Firth because it's just pissing rain.
Nice.
He's got a, he's wearing black. He's got a little white collar that's just soaked. He just says, as you roll up and roll down your window, you can see his car is in rough shape. There's smoke, black smoke billowing out of the hood. And he just says, pardon me, dear friends. I apologize for flagging you down in this weather, but, it would seem that my automobile has, well, to be blunt, crapped out on me. I do beg your indulgence. I have business in Helmfirth. Would you happen to be going that way? It's a small town on the coast.
Yeah, come on in.
Wonderful. And he goes to the back of his car and he cranks it open. And he grabs a big heavy case with a cross on it. And he just kind of like awkwardly shuffles into the back. Red or Richter, who's in the front seat with Addy? I assume it's Red.
Yeah, it
would Red be. For sure.
So he pulls in next to you, Richter, he takes just a deep breath once he's inside the car, and you can tell, Richter, it's actually kind of a familiar gesture to you. It's the sigh of frustration of a man with singular purpose being frustrated by the world stacking against him. He just extends his hand and says, my name is Father Patrick O'Houlihan, and it's a true pleasure to meet you all. You are truly good Samaritans, and I appreciate you bringing me with you to Helmfirth. I must say I'm on a mission of some sort, and it's rather important. Tell me, have any of you heard of the Croatoan?
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter. Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Forgive me, Father.
For I have sinned.
It's been 6 months.
Since my last confession.
What would you like to confess today?
I have decades of failings I could recap here.
Today, I want to confess the worst thing I've ever done.
Lots to unpack here.
I can be kind of a crap husband.
I took 8 years of my life and lit it on fire in a matter of 5 hours.
So I did what any self-respecting father would do.
I lightly dosed his Gatorade with a powerful laxative.
And I guess sorry for making out in the confessional?
Since confession is about talking to God, I felt he had a right to know what you've done.
What I've done? What did I do?
Are you kidding?
Do you love Emily?
What the hell kind of question is that?
Well, you're not going to absolve me? That's the whole point.
Please leave the sacrament to the professionals.
Where do you get off talking to me like this?
Excuse me?
What the f***? Who is there?
Forgive Me, a comedy podcast from Rogue Dialogue.